There are more defiant words today from the North Korean leader. Kim Jong-un told North Korea's state-run media that there is no room for negotiations on his weapons program. The United States has confirmed that the missile launched yesterday from North Korea was that country's first test of an intercontinental ballistic missile, a missile that in theory could reach Alaska. In response, the U.S. and South Korea conducted their own ballistic missile exercises in the Sea of Japan. Jim Walsh is here and now's security analyst with the Security Studies Program at MIT. He's with us in the studio. And Jim, we've had a day now to process the details of this launch. The U.S. has confirmed that it was, in fact, a missile that could cross continents. Does that change at all the way that the White House can respond to this threat?
Well, it's a bit of a paradox, Peter. On the one hand, it's a big development. And on the other hand, nothing's really changed. I mean, the same policy options we had yesterday are the same policy options we have today. I would say this, though. The test, because it's really the most important demonstration of capabilities that the North Koreans have had so far to record, it sort of underlines the fact that we have a basic disconnect. And that policy disconnect is they can make improvements in missiles faster than we can impose sanctions that would somehow interfere with that. So we are losing that game. And we've been losing it for a while. And so while it's no surprise, it again highlights the fact that the strategy, as long as they can build faster than we can punish them, is not going to succeed, and may underline the need for negotiation as a way to try to suspend their nuclear and missile activity.
Well, exactly, except for the fact that today Kim Jong-un says negotiations over this weapons program are out of the question. Is that bluster? Is it really?
Well, if you know, there's no lack of bluster that comes from North Korea as from other capitals in the world. The North Koreans have been saying privately in unofficial meetings, so-called track two meetings, their officials have told retired American officials and experts that they are prepared to negotiate. Kim himself said in 2015 that he would and then repeated that he would suspend missile tests if the U.S. suspended war games. Now, that sounds to me like an offer. Now, it's not the end of a final negotiation. It's the beginning, not the end. But that sounds like a proposal. So my own view is that all the parties need to come and sit down without precondition, without saying you have to do something first. Just sit and talk. And I think, you know, maybe we would get a freeze, which would certainly be an improvement over our current situation. But beyond that, the danger here is inadvertent war. Escalation, miscalculation. At least if you're talking to one another, you reduce that danger.
One of the parties at the table could be China, although President Trump today is going after China, tweeting that trade between North Korea and China grew almost 40% in the first quarter, essentially making the point that China is too involved with North Korea to be of any help here. Does the president have a point?
Well, yes and no. That general trade figures don't tell you much about that relationship. I mean, remember, there are a lot of hungry North Koreans who are probably getting rice as part of that exchange of trade. The real thing you want to keep your eye on are two different things. Coal exports by North Korea, has China acted on that, and also oil exports to the DPRK. It was reported that in their capital city, they had undertaken gasoline rationing in part because of Chinese actions. So I think the Chinese have taken some actions, but I think Mr. Trump may have a level of expectation that's just not attainable. The Chinese aren't going to squeeze them to the point of collapse. Because they don't want a failed nuclear weapons state on their border. So I think the Chinese have done some. They've done more than they've done in the past. Obviously, the president is dissatisfied, though.
Yeah. Yesterday, China and Russia asked both sides, talking about the U.S. and North Korea, to stop flexing their muscles over this, telling North Korea to stop the missile testing, telling the United States and South Korea to stop these military exercises. Immediately, it didn't work.
Because
about that?
Because each side feels compelled to respond to show the other side that it won't back down. So when they have a missile test, what do? We have more exercises and a test to show them that we're not going to give up what we're doing either. So there. And back and forth it goes. So I think, though, that when the president arrives at the G20, he's going to hear from China, he's going to hear from Russia, and he's going to hear from South Korea, our treaty ally, that we have to have some negotiations. Because, frankly, that's the only thing that could stop this quickly, even if it's not a panacea. If they keep testing, then they're going to get better. And so how do you stop a test? One way is negotiations.
Has North Korea outmaneuvered the United States?
Well, that's a tough one. I mean, this is a problem president after president has found easier to kick down the road than to try to to solve because of all the risks involved. I mean, North Korea, let's face it, they have an advantage. They don't care about Kim doesn't care about his population. He only cares about keeping power. So if you sanction his population, what does he care? All he has to do is survive, and he is risk acceptant. He's willing to wave a gun around when most of the countries in the region are pretty, you know, fat and happy and are not interested in running huge risks. So that is a built-in advantage for him, and it is a difficult problem.
Here and now, security analyst Jim Walsh. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter.